Good evening, everyone. We will open our meeting tonight by singing hymn number 175. Lo, he sent his word and healed them. Still, that word of God is here. Still, its tender, healing message speaks to every listening ear. Truth divine that overcometh all the ills that seem to be, in our hearts, thy word abiding, we may know thee and be free. Hymn number 175. The theme for the reading this evening is the Spirit of Inspiration. The Bible will now be read by Elizabeth from Georgia.
I will read from the King James Version. Job. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Numbers. And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take up the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Acts. Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. 2 Timothy. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work.
The correlative reading will now be given by Gary.
I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures and from Prose Works by Mary Baker Eddy. All truth is from inspiration and revelation, from spirit, not from flesh. The soul-inspired patriarchs heard the voice of truth and talked with God as consciously as man talks with man. The ancient prophets gained their foresight from a spiritual, incorporeal standpoint. When sufficiently advanced in science to be in harmony with the truth of being, men become seers and prophets involuntarily, controlled not by demons, spirits, or demigods, but by the one Spirit. It is the prerogative of the ever-present divine mind and of thought which is in rapport with this mind to know the past, the present, and the future. Acquaintance with the science of being enables us to commune more largely with the divine mind, to foresee and foretell events which concern the universal welfare, to be divinely inspired, yea, to reach the range of fetterless mind, to understand that mind is infinite, not bounded by corporeality, not dependent upon the ear and eye for sound or sight, nor upon muscles and bones for locomotion, is a step towards the mind science by which we discern man's nature and existence. All we correctly know of spirit comes from God, divine principle, and is learned through Christ and Christian science. If this science has been thoroughly learned and properly digested, we can know the truth more accurately than the astronomer can read the stars or calculate an eclipse. This mind reading is the opposite of clairvoyance. It is the illumination of the spiritual understanding which demonstrates the capacity of soul, not of material sense. This soul sense comes to the human mind when the latter yields to the divine mind. Such intuitions reveal whatever constitutes and perpetuates harmony, enabling one to do good, but not evil. You will reach the perfect science of healing when you are able to read the human mind after this manner and discern the error you would destroy. It is recorded that Jesus, as he once journeyed with his students, knew their thoughts, read them scientifically. In like manner, he discerned disease and healed the sick. After the same method, events of great moment were foretold by the Hebrew prophets. Our Master rebuked the lack of this power when he said, "O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" Both Jew and Gentile may have had acute corporeal senses, but mortals need spiritual sense. Spiritual sense is a conscious constant capacity to understand God. It shows the superiority of faith by works over faith in words. Its ideas are expressed only in new tongues, and these are interpreted by the translation of the spiritual original into the language which human thought can comprehend. The principle and proof of Christianity are discerned by spiritual sense. They are set forth in Jesus' demonstrations, which show, by his healing the sick, casting out evils, and destroying death, the last enemy that shall be destroyed, his disregard of matter and its so-called laws. The effects of Christian Science are not so much seen as felt. It is the still small voice of truth uttering itself. We are either turning away from this utterance, or we are listening to it and going up higher. Willingness to become as a little child and to leave the old for the new renders thought receptive of the advanced idea. Gladness to leave the false landmarks and joy to see them disappear. This disposition helps to precipitate the ultimate harmony. The purification of sense and self is a proof of progress. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Angels. God's thoughts passing to man. Spiritual intuitions, pure and perfect. The inspiration of goodness, purity, and immortality, counteracting all evil, sensuality, and mortality. When angels visit us, we do not hear the rustle of wings, nor feel the feathery touch of the breast of a dove, but we know their presence by the love they create in our hearts. Oh, may you feel this touch. It is not the clasping of hands, nor a loved person present. It is more than this. It is a spiritual idea that lights your path. The psalmist saith, "He shall give his angels charge over thee." God gives you his spiritual ideas, and in turn, they give you daily supplies. Never ask for tomorrow. It is enough that divine love is an ever-present help. And if you wait, never doubting, you will have all you need every moment. What a glorious inheritance is given to us through the understanding of omnipresent love. More we cannot ask. More we do not want. More we cannot have. This sweet assurance is the peace be still to all human fears, to suffering of every sort.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer, and then follow by repeating together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Okay, Craig, can you please announce the next hymn?
Hymn 119. Holy Spirit, source of gladness, come with all thy radiance bright. Lift our burdens and all sadness. O'er thy children, shed thy light. Hymn 119.
Welcome to the Wednesday evening testimony meeting from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. This church maintains a dynamic website plainfieldcs.com. There's a lot of material on our website, and I encourage everyone to browse through it in its entirety. We publish our own weekly Bible lessons sermons, and it also can be found on our website. Every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we have a roundtable discussion. It's broadcast live by teleconference and live streaming over the internet. It lasts for approximately an hour, and it's followed at 11 o'clock in the morning by our Sunday morning church service. Also on Sunday at 11 a.m., we have a Sunday school for children. It goes out by teleconference, and it has its own conference number so that children from wherever can attend our Sunday school. If you have a child that would like to attend, please call the church. We'll give you the phone number, and your child will be most welcome there. We're going to have another Bible study this Saturday at 10 a.m., and the Bible study questions are on the website. Looking forward to a great discussion. Okay, on with our testimonies. I will now read from the Church Manual by Mary Baker Eddy, the section entitled Testimonials. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Testimony in regard to the healing of the sick is highly important. More than a mere rehearsal of blessings, it scales the pinnacle of praise and illustrates the demonstration of Christ, who healeth all thy diseases. This testimony, however, shall not include a description of symptoms or of suffering, though the generic name of the disease may be indicated. For those that give testimonies tonight, please keep your remarks within 4 minutes so everyone will have an opportunity to share their offering. And those who are on the teleconference, when you're ready to give your testimony, press **. That lets us know that you're ready. And when we're ready here, we'll call on each of you one by one by name. And now I'd like to open the meeting to the sharing of testimonies of healing through Christian Science. Jeremy.
I'm very grateful for all the protection that God gives us. This month, my daughter will be turning 19 and my son is turning 15. Most of their youth, I was not doing right by God, and therefore I was not doing right by them. And I feel such gratitude to God because despite all of my nonsense, it's easy to feel how he was watching over us that whole time. In this week's lesson, it says, the effects of Christian Science are not so much seen as felt. As I think back on the different events in my life, I can feel how true Mrs. Eddy's words are. I definitely didn't see God acting, but his presence is undeniable, and it's the reason why I'm here and why life is now so wonderful. I think that God had such love and mercy to look out for me and my children before I was even useful to him. It's such a testament to what kind of God he is. And it's that sort of love has certainly been exemplified by my practitioner and all the members of this church. It's such a blessing to be here and to be a part of this wonderful mission of Christian Science. Thank you. Now I have a testimony from Joseph.
I'm very grateful today for a trip I took the other week to England to visit Hampton Court Palace, where the King James Bible was presented to the King. King James the VI of England and King James the I of Scotland. The Bible, which symbolizes a major part of our faith and also symbolizes the freedom of the Reformation. I'm very sad that there was no mention of the Reformation or indeed the importance of the book in Hampton Court itself or indeed in the chapel. I've recently learned that this month will mark a special occasion there when the reunification between the Catholic Church and the Church of England will take a step forward, and they will once again hold Catholic services there, the first in 500 years. Of course, this is wonderful to bring about a sense of peace and reunification, but it seems that it's been forgotten now, the struggle of our forefathers to shake away the paganism of their faith. The King James Bible marked the reality of that. And it took me a while to find a good sense of peace between what now is and what was. I'm also grateful today for the Bible lesson of this week, and it mentions the fact that God is our keeper. And I was very struck by this word because I'm remembering that during the war, and I think until recent times in Scotland and in the UK generally, wedding rings were referred to as keepers because they signified ownership, that a woman was owned by her husband, a tradition which apparently again came from Hampton Court. It was something instigated by King George III when he gave a keeper ring to his wife, Queen Charlotte. And I'm just so grateful today that I'm very proud to be owned by God, by the fact that there's nothing that I can do as his reflection, which is going to cause his wrath in some kind of angry human form. So there was a lot of tie-ins in the Bible lesson, I think, with the Reformation, with Hampton Court, and of course all of the citations from the King James Bible. I'm just very grateful for these awarenesses, especially at a time when we're trying to work out some kind of peace with other faiths to welcome people into our countries. I think it's important not to forget the problems that we had within Christianity. For these things, I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you to both of you. Mary.
I'm grateful to Joseph for his insight to a little bit of English history. During several years ago, our church visited London and England and Scotland. And I say church because just about everybody in our church, it was a church trip. And we went there and visited more than once. And certainly one thing that we were struck with was these beautiful old churches, which were more museums, certainly, than churches. So I'm grateful for the vitality that we have in our church, and also what Joseph said too, how much important history is being lost, the spirituality of all countries. That's the true history. Mrs. Eddy says that. It's the spirituality of every country that's important, and those facts must never be lost. And so we can proclaim them and help others to know the truth about truly what went on in our history and the spiritual development that did occur and that can never be lost. So thank you, Joseph.
Thank you. Luann from New York, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm very grateful for the roundtable and Bible study this past weekend that focused on breaking down the wall. The lesson was presented very clearly, and I could relate it to the first healing I received through my practitioner. After being abused as a child, over time I built up a wall to protect myself from being physically and mentally hurt again. I didn't want anyone around me that seemed like they may care about me. To me, it wasn't real anyway, and over time, they would just end up leaving or hurting me. I became indifferent and kept everyone at arm's length. I told myself I didn't care. I carried around such a persona about myself that when I was in school, the other kids would walk on the other side of the hallway to avoid being near me. They would say, "Don't go near her, she will hit you." It really hurt a lot because inside I was scared and alone. I wanted to know love and to trust love, but I didn't know how. The slightest bit of feeling would cause me to sabotage whatever help I was getting. In my mind, I needed that wall for protection, and no one was getting in. I'm really grateful that my practitioner could see right through that wall. She continued to apply the truth, even though I was holding on with both hands and testing her often to see if this love was real and lasting. Gradually, I was able to let love in and began to feel safe in the hands of God. That wall came tumbling down. Thankful that she was persistent. It was the healing that opened the door to my acceptance and trust in divine love, paved the way towards understanding and forgiveness. So thankful to be free of that prison that was keeping me from knowing God and reflecting His nature. Divine love carries with it a power to destroy anything opposed to God, good. It is very real and eternal. Christian Science has given me back the life God intended me to live, a life filled with joy, patience, forgiveness, kindness, and love, which I'm now able to share with others naturally without fear. I am so grateful for this healing and all the work my practitioner does to help me to understand my relationship with God and reflect Him in all that I say and do. It has been a tremendous blessing not only to myself, but to my family and friends as well. I am deeply grateful for all that I've been given. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary.
It really is wonderful to see God's protecting care for us really in everything in our lives. All of this wonderful snow we've had recently has brought to mind an experience I had a couple of years ago. And I've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again, so bear with me if you've heard this before. It was a couple of years ago in the winter. I needed to take a business trip to Europe. And I called a practitioner from this church for help beforehand. And the practitioner told me something kind of interesting. He said that, well, you're not going to Europe. Europe is coming to you. The whole point of this is spiritual growth, and remember, everything's in your consciousness. So take care of your consciousness. Well, I appreciated that very much, and that guided me through the whole trip. Well, I went over early in the week and was scheduled to come back on a Thursday. And while I was there on Wednesday, there was the forecast of this huge snowstorm that was going to hit New Jersey on Thursday, the day I was supposed to return. And all day Wednesday, airlines were canceling their flights in and out of Newark Airport on Thursday. And by the end of the day Wednesday, almost all the flights in and out of Newark had been canceled, but mine hadn't been canceled yet. But expecting that it would be, our travel agent even rescheduled me for a flight Friday morning. Well, Thursday came along and I had business to do, and when I finished my business Thursday, my flight hadn't been canceled yet. So I asked God, I said, "What do I do?" And the answer came very clearly. The answer came, "Go to the airport." So I went to the airport, trusting that God would guide me. And much to everybody's surprise and amazement, we actually got on the plane and took off, heading for New Jersey. Well, it was a wonderful flight, and about 7 hours later, as I was praying for a good and safe landing, I got this very distinct mental picture of the plane inside God's hands, and God's hand gently landing the plane at the airport. It was very vivid, and it was so loving and so peaceful and so calming that I had to say, thank you, I trust you. Well, sure enough, we landed safely and peacefully and calmly at Newark Airport. Well, it had warmed up temporarily. The snow had temporarily turned to rain. The runways were not icy. And we had a wonderful landing. And because virtually every other flight had been canceled in and out of Newark, it was empty. And we breezed right through customs. Well, I was in awe of what God had done that day. I had work to do for him, for church, and he made sure that I got back in time and safely to do that work. It was by far and away the most pleasant flying experience I've ever had. So I'm so grateful to learn that when we take care of God's business, he takes care of us. It is unfailing. So grateful to be learning that here in this church and to be here tonight.
Thank you. Linda from Pennsylvania, go ahead.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for the readings and the beautiful music tonight. I'm very grateful for the consistent message here that we are not to tolerate evil in any form, such as envy, hate, lust, revenge, pride, deceit, gossip, and the like. Some of these can come in less obvious ways or seem harmless, especially if you don't act on them. We are being taught vigilance here and how evil operates. I have been learning how to recognize my own weak points and then how to stop evil at the door instead of justifying, excusing, or ignoring it. Before coming here, I really was unaware of the necessity and seriousness of stepping on evil in all its forms. And I am learning the importance of helping each other. I'm so grateful for all the tools and resources that help us here, such as the Bible study, roundtable, Bible lessons, website. Practitioner support has been indispensable for me in this growth. Experience is showing me that there is no middle ground or easier path. In the Bible, Hosea warns, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." I just want to express my gratitude for Mrs. Eddy, Christ Jesus, Plainfield Church, and all the people that work together to make this a blessing and a growing place. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Yeah. Fairley from Maryland, go ahead.
Thank you. Tonight, I would want to express very special gratitude to Mrs. Eddy for writing her prose works, which enlarged my understanding and ability to use her textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. In her autobiographical chapter, Retrospection and Introspection, in the section entitled Personality, she gives an explanation of how to lay off the human personality. She explains the material human concept grew beautifully. She explains how she did it. She says the material human concept grew beautifully less as I floated into more spiritual latitudes and purer realms of thought. From that hour, personal corporeality became less to me than it is to people who fail to appreciate individual character. I endeavor to lift thought above physical personality or selfhood in matter to man's spiritual individuality in God, in the true mind, where sensible evil is lost in supersensible good. She goes on to instruct. She says, this is the only way whereby the false personality is laid off. So I try as best I can to do that as I progress. Many thanks for this service, for the lovely readings, and all the testimonies, and to God.
Thank you. Chardell from Pennsylvania, go ahead.
Good evening. I wanted to say thank you for the beautiful service, the readings and music, the testimonies. It's awesome. And tonight I would like to express my gratitude for Mrs. Eddy. Before coming to Plainfield, I never really understood what she has done for mankind by dedicating her life to bringing Christ Christianity to all of us. Through her prayers, writings, demonstration of healing sin and sickness, she has brought to life what Christ was doing over 2,000 years ago. This was her cause, and also her cause for living. And she did it 365 days a year, round the clock, in order that humanity would realize that we are God-created and therefore spiritual beings, free, whole, and alive in wellness. Plainfield Church is unique because it teaches what Mrs. Eddy taught and sends these truths out to the world. I think Mrs. Eddy would love our website. Thank you for the service. Good night.
Thank you. Karen from Kansas, go ahead.
Recently, I was just overwhelmed by some material evidence of a bladder infection, hemorrhoids, and signs of depression. Fear and worry occupied me, and in my distress, I called a Christian Science practitioner of this church, and she reminded me not to pay attention to material evidence, but keep my view on God and that our help comes from being obedient to Him. As I turned more to God and realized that God created me in His image and likeness, that I was spiritual, there was no material evidence. And I found out that God indeed watches over us. I am feeling so much better in every way. And thank you for the testimonies and for the readings and for the music.
Thank you. Benjamin.
Yeah, I want to thank the readers tonight for the inspiring reading. I remember a few years ago when I first came here. At some point, when I started to feel concerned about my health situation, and also the thoughts of being away from my hometown was overwhelming me at that point. Quite frankly, I was really scared of anything happening to me, what I'm gonna do, who will take care of me. I spoke with a practitioner at that time who also was our teacher. She straightforward told me that, Benjamin, that if I continue to do the will of God, the work of God, and that God will take care of me, and that includes my health and every area of my life. He told me that quite a few times until I start to understand what that means. And that has been a backbone to me, because I always remember that she told me to this day. And God, through her word, has been very faithful to me on that front. My health hasn't changed. I haven't had any issue of anything. This morning was a reminder of that, because today I was traveling with one of my co-workers, and there was a concern that she raised about these health issues and insurance issues that is going on in the country. Quite frankly, in all my life experience, I haven't seen anything like it is in this country, where it's almost on every conversation. Sickness, diseases, medicine, drug, this and that. If you any TV channel you tune on, every 5 minutes is one story to another story, to the point it can be overwhelming if you're not careful. And if you're not a Christian, not just a Christian by mouth, if you're not somebody who understands God very well, you will buy these things and you will start to have all these issues they are projecting on TVs and every news media, including politicians, because they're using these things to buy people's vote at the same time. And people are buying these stories, and people are getting sick, and people are dying. And it makes me more grateful that God brought me here and put me on the right place where I can be able to understand this from day one, that God alone can take care of his children, nothing else. And I can't thank God enough for taking care of me as he has promised me from day one. One example was a few weeks ago. I think I gave this in my testimony last time. When I was on vacation in Virginia, in that vacation, after a few days, there was an outbreak of virus in that hotel. A couple of people that I came with ended up in an emergency room. But when the news came to me, and I prayed to God, and God heard our prayer, and the outbreak stopped immediately. Because God answers prayer, and I know he does. And through my prayer and through the prayer of honest people, this outbreak didn't go further than that. And it's an example of what God has given us here. What we are doing here is phenomenal, and it's something to be grateful and thank God for. Thank you.
Thank you. Craig.
I thank God and those that gave the readings tonight. They truly so very uplifting and make me looking for where angels have come in and lifted and guided and made good use of me. The lesson also, it was tremendous. We're learning to be warriors, not to just to accept what we see or either in the news or what we feel, but to stand up to issues, whether it be health or sin, and face it and overcome. And that attitude, it does set an atmosphere for other people, a rather happy atmosphere or energetic for the people I think that are around me. And other things, like, I'm sure it's because I've been striving to be more faithful, that just like in the lesson, it says in Psalms, David, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And I kind of feel like that's what's going on, that God has, he's a life, and he has activities and efforts that we should all be involved with, uplifting others, and first uplifting ourselves, and sharing love, and I found that at work, I was given a task at work, and I didn't at first know well to do about it. I asked God how to do it, and the first thing that came to me was to, probably just anxiety, some complicated, this is complicated, it was a flash of complication came across my face. And I said, well, no, maybe I'll experiment. But that wasn't the right way, because the equipment I needed to experiment wasn't working. In addition, my boss said, no, I don't want you to do that at home. But it was, like it says, wait on God. So I just said, well, let me just wait and see until the right idea comes. Another day it came, just Tuesday. And it was such a simple, simple solution, calculation, that it wasn't worth any of the effort of building something or trying something. It was just so very simple. It just had to be clear. Just stop. Do a simple Google search and a simple division. And the answers came. I don't doubt that they're right because they're so simple and straightforward. So it's so beautiful that God just opens the way. And I think he kind of says, don't do this, don't do this, do this. Things like that. This is a good life and a triumphant life, and we don't have to stay in a slumberous state for more than a moment, but to stand up and know that something good's going to happen here and see it for us and others. And this love is for everybody and everywhere.
Thank you. Mary.
I'll read from our church website bulletin board, Pennsylvania. I wish to thank everyone who is involved with the Wednesday evening services. Right in the middle of our bustling and often challenging week comes the Wednesday service that blesses with music, readings, and testimonies of gratitude. Thank you. And then Illinois, thank you for today's calendar. God and God alone is the never-failing source of good, by Albert M. Cheney. I have been struggling with weight and appetite. Today I realized that God and God alone is in control of my appetite. And then I realized that I needed to stop eating sooner, and that God and God alone is in control of everything. This was such a helpful and healing thought. And then again, Pennsylvania. She says, it's clear Mrs. Eddy does not mean cute. The definition of adorable I grew up with is interpreting hallowed be thy name as adorable one in her spiritual interpretation of the Lord's Prayer in Science and Health. Webster's Dictionary of 1828 online has the much more helpful definition of adorable as worthy of the utmost love or respect. And then a letter from Virginia. Dear fellow members, greetings to all the faithful and joyful workers in this independent church. With many thanks, I send my monthly contribution to aid in this very important work with love and gratitude. I'm so grateful tonight for those beautiful readings on divine inspiration and how that God's voice is speaking to us always. In this week's lesson, in Deuteronomy, it says, out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And I had an example of an angel visitant this afternoon. I'd been working and studying and had gotten the thought I needed to go upstairs and check something in my records. And I'd had that thought a few times recently, and I just had kind of blown it off. I thought, I don't really know why I would need to do that. But today it came really as an urgent command that I should do that. And when I did, I found out that there was something that I needed to take care of today. And if I didn't, I would lose money, so I should get going right away on this. And I thought, wow, I just thank God for this. If I hadn't listened to that voice, I would have lost quite a bit of money that I didn't need to lose. It would have been senseless. And it was just because I had forgotten and not heeded earlier voices, but thank God it came today, clearer and stronger than ever before. And this is how God works. If we're listening, just as the readings tonight said, we have an article on our website by Gilbert Carpenter, a short article called Listening to God. And the first paragraph says, if you ever expect to hear the voice of God, you must accept the fact that his voice is right now sending out its messages continuously, and doing this because you possess a capacity to hear it. Goes on, but that's the truth. He's always speaking to us. And as we develop our spiritual sense and listen keenly, he will tell us what to do. We cannot make a mistake. It's just a matter of obedience. I'm so grateful for that angel visitant today and to be part of this meeting tonight.
Thank you. Okay, to close our meeting tonight, Lil, can you please announce the last hymn?
Hymn number 5. A voice from heaven we have heard, the call to rise from earth. Put armor on, the sword now gird, and for the fight go forth. The foe in ambush claims our prize, then heed high heaven's call. Obey the voice of truth, arise, and let not fear enthrall. Hymn number 5.